name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ, your Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. The Son begotten of the Father from eternity, the man born of the Virgin Mary, your Lord has redeemed you. A lost and condemned person, he has purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and innocent suffering and death. This is the divine mystery that we contemplate tonight as we hear Christ's words from the cross. And although Christ bloodied and dying, crucified and giving up his last breath is a horrific thought and sight, all of this because of our sins, nonetheless, it is most appropriate for us to call today Good Friday. For today we see the full sternness of the law's judgment and condemnation against our crucified Savior as he is crushed by it. But we also see the most incredible, and I mean that very specifically, incredible, almost unbelievable gospel. That God would not suffer the condemnation of his own people created in his image because of their sin, but instead suffered that condemnation upon himself. That the Almighty Creator would go through such great lengths to reconcile us to him and make us his children. Indeed, if God had merely sent a prophet with a call to repentance, the offer of a second chance, would that not be good news? A mercy beyond which we deserved? If God had sent an angel with an olive branch of peace, proclaiming a message of reconciliation to man crushed and condemned in his sin, would that not be the most joyful tidings imaginable? But according to his unfathomable love, God has done infinitely more in order to win us and convince us of his reconciled heart to us. God sent his only begotten Son into the world. And he did not send his only begotten Son into the world only to announce a message of reconciliation, which would be unfathomable mercy in itself, but he also offered him up as a sacrifice to establish that reconciliation. John, the apostle of Jesus, writes in his gospel about John the Baptist, and how John the Baptist explicitly identified Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And this is a particular theme for John. John tells us the reason that he writes his gospel. He says, "These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And so it is that this confession that Jesus is the Lamb of God was central to John's emphasis. He twice references Christ as the Lamb of God in his gospel. He more all the gospels say it explicitly, so I'm not going to say explicitly, but he more strenuously emphasizes the connection between the Passover and Jesus' death, right? Marking out Jesus as the Passover Lamb. And in his book of Revelation, he refers to the ascended Jesus 30 times as the Lamb, especially the Lamb who was slain. So also John in his gospel records those words from the cross which we have just heard. It is finished. We can't help but see the connection between the promised Lamb that Abraham tells Isaac that God will provide, the Passover lamb whose blood covered the people of Israel so that the angel of death passed over them in Egypt, the Passover lamb that gives them strength for their journey out of slavery, and Jesus, the Lamb of God, whose blood saves us from the destruction reserved for the devil and his angels, and whose flesh gives us the strength for our journey to the promised land. In Jesus' cross and death, God's grand plan of salvation, the narrative of salvation that stretches throughout the entire scriptures is finished. It is finished. God has provided the lamb for the sacrifice. God has won the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation by his own holy and precious blood. He has provided the blood which, when sprinkled on the doorposts of your body, causes the angel of death to pass over. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, the book of Hebrews says. He is your sacrificial lamb. You have been made holy, sanctified, literally set apart through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ upon the cross. You have been set apart from all the peoples of the world and marked as God's own people. It is finished, namely everything that was demanded of you by the law. It is finished, namely all the prophecies about suffering that were recorded by Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. It is finished, namely everything that was necessary for Christ to suffer for the forgiveness of your sins, for your adoption as God's children, for your salvation, and for your eternal life. All of these things were accomplished, completed, and finished in one all-atoning sacrifice, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. In the cross, you are made his children. It is applied to you in baptism, as St. Paul says in Romans 6. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? It is applied to you through the sacrament of the altar, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And with that comes the implicit admonition that we should do it often. For every Lord's day is the time to proclaim the Lord's death, the death of the only begotten Son of God for the forgiveness of sins and to receive the fruits of his sacrifice. And so every Lord's Day is a day in which the sacrament of the altar is most right, proper, and salutary. The death of Christ is your victory. He is the lamb that was slain, but now lives. Now you may be his own and live under him, in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity, so you too have newness of life. Amen. Please rise for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.